11. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. I love Hebrews chapter 11, great chapter in the Bible. And they called this the heroes of the faith. You ought to have some heroes in your life. You ought to have some heroes rather than football players or basketball players and others. You ought to have some heroes in the Bible. I got a lot of heroes in the Bible. I pray whenever I read about the different men in the Bible, I say, Lord, I need what he had. I need what he had. Give me what he had. David was a man after God's own heart, and David loved the Lord, and he sang praises. So if you read the book of Psalms, you're reading what David sang praises to God by himself out there rejoicing and praising God. And David had a heart for God. And then you find other men in the Bible. The Bible tells you in Hebrews chapter 11, and it goes through this whole thing. They were just singing, one day I'm going to thank him for what he's done. And you'll find it in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. It says, for he looked for a city which have a foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And look at verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and is the evidence of things not seen. Faith has substance. You can get a hold of it. You can get a hold of faith. And faith is important in a Christian's life. And I've had people say, well, that caused me to lose my faith. No, some things that you go through ought to build your faith. You ought to be growing in faith. You ought to daily grow in faith in the Word of God. And the faith cometh by hearing, and that's why you're in church. That's why church is important. It's because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And the preacher gets up, and he's trying to encourage you to believe the book, believe God, and believe in what God said. And the Bible says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith that we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. I mean, we know that God spoke in the world into existence. The Bible says he had it in his hand. He's in the span of his hand. You read the book of Job, God talks to Job about it. And God made all these things, the stars, the planets, and the sun. They had the astronaut said, and when he went out into space with Apollo 11, he said, looking at all this creation, he said, there's got to be a divine creator. It's got to be. He said, this thing wasn't just thrown together. It wasn't just an explosion. And all of a sudden, out of all that explosion, I've talked to some people that have been in college, and you know they believed in evolution, and they said that the Earth slung off the sun and it came through space. It picked up condensation, and now we got 2/3 water on the Earth, and it picked up condensation. That's where then the Earth settled where it's at, and the stars finally got in their place. I said, you know what? It takes more faith to believe that than to believe just what God said. It takes a lot of faith to believe that something exploded and something that came out of nothing, and then all of a sudden mankind shows up on the Earth. Well, you know, that's crazy. That's like taking a watch and saying, okay, this thing was created by itself. No, it has to have a divine creator or somebody to put it together. God put it together. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things that which are seen were made by the things which do appear. And by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And you know the first murder in the Bible? It was Cain. First murder in the Bible. Cain killed his brother. You know, we see that stuff going on every day in Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., all over the world. You see people killing and killing. And I think, God, how much longer are you going to put up with this mess? How much longer is this thing going to go on? But Cain killed his brother, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous and God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found. We know in the Bible that Enoch was walking with God, and God took him home, translated him into his kingdom. And because God had translated him before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, in the next verse, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you've got everything going against you. Everything goes against you in this day and time to keep you from having faith in God. It keeps your faith, try to keep you under some kind of struggle of life. And the devil's right there to tell you, God really doesn't care. If God was there, he'd be doing this and God be doing that. God does do things. And I'll tell you what, if we got what we really deserve, we'd be in hell with our back broken, our ass scratched out right now. But the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, if you're going to come to God, you must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And he says, but you want a faith? You want to grow in faith? You want to get closer to God? You got to believe that. You have to believe God. I mean, folks, that Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, is the evidence of things not seen. And man, we got a God that he expects us to trust him and live by faith. And Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. So what is the faith? The faith is in God and his word. God, I mean, we're going to talk about that this morning. And take your Bible, look with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. You have a Bible, look at Mark chapter 11. Faith in God. And boy, I tell you what, I want more faith in God, don't you? If you're watching online, you ought to want more faith in God, more faith in the Lord. And what happens is this world, like I said, these things in this world will try to steal your faith away from God. And Christians are falling by the wayside, and their faith is getting weak and weak and weak. And the Bible says faith without works is dead. You've got to work at it, man. You've got to work at faith. I mean, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, but you've got to work at by faith. You've got to work and trust God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter or Mark chapter 11, and look at verse, back about verse 17. And he taught, saying unto them, it is written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. This is Jesus Christ talking, and he purifies the temple. And look at verse 15. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the table of money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And the reason why, the temple was a holy place. It was holy. And in the Old Testament, I mean, the temple of God was, and the temple is not in Jerusalem right now. It's been destroyed by Rome, but it's going to be rebuilt. And Jesus said, and he taught, saying unto them, it is written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. That thing hadn't been built yet. And we know that it's going to be rebuilt. We know the Bible tells us it's going to be rebuilt, and the Antichrist is going to come in, sit down in the temple and say he's God and so on. But it says, and he made, you have made it a den of thieves. The scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when it was come, when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, he saw a fig tree dried up from the roots. And it says, and Peter calling to remembrance saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree that thou did curse is withered away. And then Jesus said, made a great statement. And I'm going to tell you something, every Christian ought to underline that thing in your Bible. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. What a statement, man. You know, there's some statements in the Bible that is just flat, it jumps out at you. And this is one of them that jumps out. He says, have faith in God. In the Old Testament, Moses went up to the Mount of Sinai and met with God. And God said, I'll tell you what, Moses, I want you to lead my children out of Egypt. I want you to take care of this problem. They've been crying out to me. I want you to go down to Egypt and lead them out. And Moses said, man, God, I can't speak. I can't do this. And God said, hey, I'll be with you. I was reading through my Bible in Exodus this week. And the Lord says, I'm fed up with them. I'm fed up with them Jews. I said, I'm going outside the camp. I ain't going to be with you. I'm going to tell you, that would be a terrible thing if God ain't with you. And he says, I'm not going to be back in the camp because of stiff-necked, rebellious people. And then Moses went interceding, and he said, Moses, get out of the way. Let my wrath wax hot so I can just annihilate these people. And Moses said, God, wait a minute now. And Moses interceded for them. He said, no, God, if you do this, the Egyptians are going to say, you brought them out here to kill them. And in the Old Testament, God didn't fool around, brother. And God still doesn't fool around. But he says, in the Old Testament, man, you're dealing with a God that, man, when he said something, it was going to happen. And in the New Testament, same thing. But Jesus Christ came along. We know, we'll talk about that in a minute. But Jesus Christ came along, and things, and when it comes to faith, changed when it comes to faith. In the Old Testament, man, he said that, you know, they had to have faith plus works. They worked. Noah had to have faith in God and works. And you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you go through there and you find all these men of the heroes of faith that had faith in God, and they did what God told them to do. If they didn't, they'd have been in trouble. And the power of God wouldn't have been there. Take your Bible, look with me to Psalms chapter 47. Psalm 47, look over here, Psalm 47. Man, I tell you what, Jesus said, have faith in God. And the devil and the world and the flesh is going to try to keep your faith not being in God. You say, what can you have faith in these days? You sure can't have it in the Republican Party. You sure can't have it in the Democratic Party. You can't have it hardly in anything these days. You know, man is, they say man is good as his word. And there's a lot of people, man, you can't trust anything they say. You can't trust their word. But I'm going to tell you something, you can trust what God says. He said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And that's where we're at today. We ought to have faith in God. And rather than in what, you know, I know Joe Biden said, I'm going to trust the scientist. I wouldn't trust the scientist. The scientist says that, you know, a baby is not even a baby. You can cut his throat as it's coming out of the womb. I wouldn't trust the scientist. They said, man, you came from an animal. You came from an amoeba. You came from a donkey. You came from a monkey. All that. I wouldn't trust the scientist one bit. People are saying, I trust the science. I don't trust the science for nothing. I trust God. Have faith in God. And God's the only one you can trust. Amen. Better to trust the Lord for confidence than man. You better trust God. You better get to the place in your life where you're saying, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to trust you. I mean, because the Bible tells us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I mean, you better trust God. In Psalm 147, it says this. I love this chapter. I love what it says. It says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doeth build up Jerusalem. He gathered together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. I mean, folks, have you ever looked up and look at the stars and try to number them? He tells the number of the stars. I thought about this one time. I remember going out there looking at that thing, and the Bible talks about if the books that were created the world couldn't even contain all the books that were going to be written about God and Jesus Christ. All the books in the world, and the world couldn't even contain it. I remember looking up at the stars thinking, I wonder if we get to heaven, we look back, and that's scripture by the stars, you know, connecting the dots. I thought, wow, the thing. You know, the Bible says stars are angels. Angels. I mean, folks, they're representing angels. And God numbers the stars. The Bible says he tells the number of the stars. He calls them all by their name. Say, how many stars out there in space? There's billions. He knows all by name. You know what baffles my mind? He says, Jesus said, have faith in God. He knows the very cells in your body. He knows the white cells and the red cells. He knows all that stuff. He knows the hair on your head numbered. He got them all numbered. That's the kind of God we serve. I mean, he's got everything in order. Everything with God is in order. God has the earth, the universe, everything is in order. When we went out to this creation museum, I want to take all the grandkids to see it. And we were sitting in that, planetarium. And we were sitting in there. Man, I got weeping and crying. They were showing how big the earth was and how much water was on the earth. They're going through that. You're sitting back like when you were a kid, when I went in elementary school going to the planetarium and they were showing you about the stars and the planets and all that stuff. And man, they were showing all that stuff. And I remember sitting there and tears running down my face thinking, man, God. And then they're showing how big the sun was compared to the earth. And then they were showing all these different planets and how big this one planet out there. And I said, who in the world named this planet? It's called Betelgeuse. Only thing I can think about that thing on the crazy late show is Betelgeuse, some weird looking monster or something. But this planet is called Betelgeuse. And I'm sitting there looking at the thing. I said, who in the world named that? God, you didn't name that one, did you? But and the Betelgeuse, they put 50 of our suns in front of Betelgeuse. That's how big it is. And they said, that part of the galaxy where we live, the galaxy we live, they were showing all the different planets in there, and they were lining them all up, and they were showing all that stuff, how wide they are and all that stuff. And I thought, man, how in the world man know all this stuff? God knows it. And then they showed the universe as a whole. And then they had a little light over here in the corner, and they said, that's our galaxy. That's how big it is. He numbers the stars and names the planets, and he cares about you. And he knows the cells in your body. He knows if you got corona or not. He knows all those things. Jesus says, have faith in God. He was telling them, have faith in God over a fig tree. He said, look, Lord, look at the fig tree. Look at it. It's withered up. And the Lord said, have faith in God. Like it was nothing. Have faith in God. You know what I find? People are losing their faith. No faith in God. No trust in God. And look what the Bible says in Psalms 147. Great is our God, our Lord, a great and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord sitteth or lifted up the meek. He cast the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises upon the harp and upon unto our God. Jesus said, have faith in God. How's your faith today? He said, what can we have faith in? What can we have faith in this world today? We can have faith in God. You can trust him. There's no doubt in my mind. I know where he brought me from. I know what he's done for me. And I know how good he is. I know what the promises he's given us. And man, the place, the Bible says, Jesus said, when he left his earth, he said, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. Whose Father? God. God the Father. He said, my Father's house are many mansions. Man, you talking about, brother, we're going to go to a place where there, you say, oh, you're living in the fantasy. No, man, we're going to a place where there's no more virus. There's no more Democrats. Hallelujah. There's no more junk going on. You know, I'm reading all these conspiracy stuff. I'm reading about China and how China, you know, got this thing going. And I'm reading about, you know, China, they, right now, they've been buying up bio labs all over the world. So why are they doing that? Well, they want to create a super race. They're trying to create a super race. They're messing with genetics and all that stuff. And that's where this coronavirus, they're messing with this stuff. They're trying to, they've got almost a 2 million man army. You say, what is their goal? What is China's goal? I'll tell you what their goal is. You read your Bible. You find out what their goal is. Their goal is world domination. That's their goal, world domination. And that's what Hitler's goal was. You're always going to have some kind of a Hitler guy showing up. You always got in Ping, whatever his name is in China, that's his goal, is the world domination. He said, what's going to happen? Well, I read my Bible. I find out the Lord's going to take care of it. Trust in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. The Bible says, sing on the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises upon the harp of our God, who covereth the heavens with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. Amen. He giveth to the beasts his food and to the young ravens which cry. God even cares. I was at the other house this week, and I noticed a little bird that was dead on the ground. A little bird's there. I'm cutting grass, and it was yesterday. I'm looking at this little bird. And I said, Lord, you know, I think about what the Lord said. He said, a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without him knowing about it. And God knows about that little bird. And I said, poor little bird. Poor little bird. You know, and this week, man, you know, as you get older, you start getting softer and concerned more about things. I let the dogs loose. I had the dogs running around, and Mike's dog and our dog. And then all of a sudden, I was cutting grass, and then my sister was talking to me, and I come around the corner, and I seen the dogs on top of something. I thought it was Eric's dog. And I thought, oh, my Lord, they're killing it. And I went over there, and they had the cat. They had the little cat, Millie. And I yelled at him. I jumped off the lawnmower. I'm chasing after him. And they picked that cat up and ran with it. They had it in the mouth. And they're running with that cat. And I'm running after him. I grab me a stick, and I'm going after him. And then, you know, the dog split. And then I went in the garage, and there was Millie. The dog put Millie right on his bed. He's going to eat her later. But so I picked her up, and she was like in a daze. Like, what in the world happened? I thought, this cat's going to die. I prayed for that cat. I said, Lord, don't let this cat die. I checked on it 3 or 4 times. The cat's fine now, thank God. Hallelujah. But even the Lord cares about that. Amen. The Bible says a good man careth the life of his beasts. Amen. Look at verse 10. He delighteth in the strength. He delighteth not in the strength of horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of men. The Lord taketh pleasure in them, look at that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. God takes pleasure in that. You know, men like to build himself up, look in the mirror and all that stuff. And there's nothing wrong with lifting weights and trying to stay in shape. And women, you know, they call women, you know, they have this thing that they get their makeup on. They sit down in front of it. It's called a vanity. Why do you think they call it vanity? Vanity, vanity, there's the preacher. Trying to paint up the old barn, trying to get it all looking good. Men trying to lift weights to look good and all that as you get older. But man, Jesus said, have faith in God. You know, where's your faith at? What do you have faith in? What do you have faith in? Jesus said, have faith in God. He's just talking about, he said, if you just say this mountain, be thou removed, have faith in God. You know, he talked about faith being like a grain of mustard seed, just a little bit. You know, I find a lot of Christians don't have no faith. You got enough faith to get saved. And what happens is when you got saved, God put in every man a measure of faith. The Bible says that. He puts in every man, every person that's in this world has a measure of faith. It all depends on what you put your faith in. You put your faith in man, you'll be let down. You put your faith in governments, you'll be let down. You put your faith in whatever, you'll be let down. But you put your faith in God, and you let that faith nurture and grow. Boy, I tell you what, things this world won't bother you as bad. I thought about my dad. I'm working on something, I'm trying to fix something, and if something goes wrong, my dad, every time something went wrong, he'd just cuss it out. He would cuss that thing out, and throw stuff and hit things with it. You know, I mean, he'd break things. I could hear my dad. I remember working on something the other day, and it didn't go right, and I'm laying under, and I started laughing. And it didn't go right, and I said, Lord, this thing ain't going on right. And then I thought about my dad. He would throw a fit and throw stuff and hit things, break windows, all that stuff. And that's the way a lot of people are. And, you know, they just get upset. They get upset when things don't go their way. But the Bible says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion, for he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hard frost like ashes. He causes forth his ice like morsel, who can stand before his cold. He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He calls the wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, as for his judgments, they gave not known. They have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. And see, in Old Testament, God, it was only, the Jews only believed in one God. And they didn't believe in all these other gods. And they didn't believe that Jesus Christ was God's son. They didn't believe God had a son. You know, in the Quran, they don't believe that Jesus Christ was God. They don't believe that. Mormons don't believe that Jesus Christ was God. They don't believe he was the God in the Godhead. See, God made man, he made him in his own image. And the Bible says that he gave you a body, soul, and spirit. And you got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells you that in Matthew chapter 28. In the Old Testament, they didn't know that God had a son. You find God, Jesus Christ, showing up all the way through the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. But the Jews got to a place where they didn't believe that God was going to have a son, and they believed that God dealt only with the Jews, only with them. But God made it different. He made a difference when it came to the New Testament. When he came to the New Testament, he allowed his son to be born. About 4 B.C., Jesus Christ was born, and he was born to a young virgin mother and to a man named Joseph, and that child was born to be raised to die. He was going to be the sacrifice of the whole world. He was going to be the one. And the Bible says there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Take your Bible, look in John chapter 6. Jesus said, have faith in God. They still didn't believe that Jesus was God, even when he said that, have faith in God. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe that he was God. And when he resurrected, brother, I'll tell you what, that changed everything. It changed the whole thing. Now, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said that. But John chapter 6, you can have faith in God. You can have faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something, you have faith in this world, you have faith in the things of this world, it'll defeat you, it'll discourage you, it'll put you down. But if you have faith in God, you have faith in his son. And his son is named Jesus. Amen? It's not Allah or Buddha or Muhammad, it's none of that. It's Jesus Christ. You know, isn't it funny how the world, they don't like to say Jesus Christ, and they use it as a cuss word, but when it comes to praying, they don't like to say in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, the Bible says that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I mean, Jesus Christ is God. He was God in the flesh. He was the old saying is the Son of Man became the Son of God became the sons of men, or the Son of Man and the sons of men became the sons of God. And that was the only way that it could happen. You know, in the Old Testament, Daniel believed God. He believed what God said. In the Old Testament, you find David believed God. You find Isaiah believed God. Jeremiah believed God. All these Old Testament prophets, they believed God. Then Jesus Christ shows up being born of a virgin. I mean, he's dedicated in the temple. And man, he's going through life at 12 years old. He's sitting in a temple and he's disputing with the doctors and the lawyers. And they said, where did he get such wisdom? Where did this come from? He knew everything that they knew and more. He knew a lot more at 12 years old. And that Bible says in John chapter 6, look at this. John chapter 6, and the Bible says in verse 15, Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king. And he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And what was going on here, Jesus Christ fed 5,000 people, and plus women and children. He took the fragments. He took a couple loaves and some fishes, and he blessed it, and he fed over 5,000 people, and they took up 12 baskets full. And the Bible says, man, they saw that. And when it came to food, they saw that. They said, man, we're going to make him the king. We're going to make him king. And the Bible says he departed away from them. Why? It wasn't the right time. He's not king yet. He has not been crowned king yet. Right now, you know what he's doing? You know what? I'll tell you what Jesus Christ is doing. You can have faith in God. You can have faith in him. You know what he's doing right now? The Bible tells us that he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father interceding on your behalf. Isn't that something? What a God we serve. That Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 6 and 7, it says he's our high priest now interceding for you and I. And the devil, the Bible says the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He's standing before God, and the devil's standing before God saying, look at your children. You think they want you? You think they want to serve you? Look. And Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand saying, Father, I paid the sin debt. I was the lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. They're your children. They're mine. The devil's constantly accusing you and I. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a shame that most of the time he's right. The devil's right when he's accusing us. I thank God for 1 John 1:9 in the Bible. Somebody said, oh, that you know, that's not New Testament. That's the tribulation for the tribulation saints and all that stuff. No, I thank God there. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, I'm glad that's in the Bible, aren't you? I'm glad I just didn't get saved and got cleansed that one time, and then all of a sudden I picked up all this stuff all the way down through life. You know what? You can be, after you're saved, you can be cleansed on a daily basis. Isn't that something? Through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. You can have faith in him. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 6, and look at verse 16. And when even was come, now come, his disciples went down into the sea. And he entered to a ship and went over to sea to Capernaum. And my wife and I got to go to Capernaum and look at Capernaum. And Capernaum was a metropolis at one time. It was the center trade of the area. I mean, the great big Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs. And they seeth Jesus walking on the sea, drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. And he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. And the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save the one whereinto his disciples were entered, that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were going away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. And after that, the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. labor not for meat which perisheth, but that for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him that hath God the Father, hath God the Father sealed. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. He said, you want to believe something? This is the work of God. You believe on me, because God sent me. I've come to pay your sin debt. He said, you believe on me. And man, you take your Bible, look in Ephesians chapter 1. Look what he says in Ephesians, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1. He said, this is the work of God. You believe on me. You believe on me. And see, the Jews had a hard time believing that God had a son. They didn't believe that. They had a hard time with that. And when Jesus said, you believe on me, he said, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 3. Or back up verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't separate them other than when Jesus Christ was on this earth. He came in the likeness of flesh and he died for mankind. And the devil was constantly accusing him, saying, you don't know what man's going through. You were never a man. That's why Jesus Christ came. And he came to take away the sins of the world. And the devil was constantly accusing, saying that you don't know what they're going through. But then you can't separate God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They're three in one. Three in one. And you can have faith in God. You can have faith in God. You can have faith in Jesus Christ. Look what it says. Grace be unto you, peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in what? In Christ. Your blessings that you have and I have and our salvation is through Jesus Christ. It's through him. Him alone. He's the one that died for you. Buddha didn't die for you. Muhammad, none of them died for you. He died for you. You can have faith in him. You can trust him. According, he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us on the adoption of children. You know what he did? He adopted us in the beloved. The Bible says, having predestinated us on the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, and the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensations of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. I'm going to say, man, folks, there's some things that you can trust in, you can have faith in, and one of them is God, and another one is Jesus Christ. I can have faith in him. I can trust him. I'm going to tell you something else. Take your Bible, look in Acts chapter 24. Acts 24. That Bible tells us we can have faith in God. We can have faith in Jesus Christ. And thank God. When we pray, I always say, Father, in the name of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. We have three in one on our behalf working for us. The Holy Spirit guides us and leads us and teaches us. You know, when you got saved, if you asked Jesus Christ to save you, the Bible says that God performed the operation on you. And Jesus Christ came inside you. He's everywhere you go. If you're cussing and drinking and carrying on, you say, I knew I was saved after I got asked the Lord to save me. I asked Jesus Christ, sitting in a chair one night, I asked him to save me while I was running from the cops. And I never forget, I asked him to save me. I went back to a party that night, and I said Jesus Christ as a cuss word. And something inside me went, ugh. Nobody told me. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I couldn't even read. I didn't know nothing about God. But something inside me just grieved. I found out later, the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. And man, I went to drink a beer. I'm drinking a beer. I'm sitting there drinking. And the Lord said, don't drink that. Don't drink that. And I'm going, what in the world? What in the world? I remember sitting in a bar and the Holy Spirit of God's going, get out of here. Get out of here. This ain't no place. It's darkness. You don't need to be here. And I thought I was going nuts, man. I thought something was going on. I said, what in the world? I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I didn't know what God. I didn't know nothing about Jesus Christ. But I knew I got saved. I knew I called on him. I didn't realize something that big moved into me. He's inside me. That's why the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God which is in you. You're saved. You got the Holy Spirit of God inside you. And the Bible says he'll guide you in all truth. If you ask him, I remember praying, Lord, don't let me get messed up. I mean, I had charismatics coming at me. I had Mormons coming at me. I had Jehovah's Witnesses coming at me. I had the Catholic priests coming at me. And after I got saved, I mean, nobody messed with me before I was saved. But after I got saved, the devil was constantly trying to mess me up. Constantly trying to keep me, you know, that's what he wants to do. The devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil try to keep you messed up. So you don't have faith in God. You don't have faith in Jesus Christ. You won't have faith in the scripture. Man, they came after me, and my heart started going, something's going on here, man. Something ain't right. And I wanted to know what this book said. I said, man, I didn't want to believe what everybody's saying. I want to know what the book said. I said, Lord, and I remember praying, God, don't let me get messed up, Lord. All this guy saying this, this guy saying this, this guy saying I got to speak in tongues, this guy saying I got to be baptized and all. Lord, I don't understand all this stuff. I don't understand. I said, Lord, I'm just a dumb thump. Help me. Help me. Boy, I tell you what, you call out to God, he'll help. He'll protect you. Look what the Bible says in Acts chapter 24. I love this, man. I can have faith in God. A lot of people put their faith in wrong places. That's why their faith never grows. They put their faith in a preacher. You can't put your faith in a preacher. You better put your faith in God. You better put your faith in Jesus Christ. You better put your faith in the scriptures. Now, if a preacher's preaching the truth and he stands for the truth, you can trust him at that point. But I'm going to tell you something. You better trust God. Look at Acts chapter 24, verse 14. I'll back up to verse 10. And Paul, after the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, for as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation. He's talking about Israel. I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. I can see this happening. I was there at the place where he was stood before King Agrippa and Festus and all that. We was in the Colosseum where he was at. And I could see it happening. Because thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. Paul's giving his defense on what happened. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogue nor in the city. Paul's saying, I didn't go there to start a trouble. I went in there because I had a vow on me. I went there, and that's where they found me. I was just doing I was worshiping God. And look what he says in verse 14. I love this. And this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, the Jews called Christianity, and they still do, heresy. They didn't believe Jesus Christ was God, so that's why they crucified him. They didn't believe that Jesus Christ came to save that nation. Jesus said, I've come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They didn't believe that. Now, there was a lot of Jews that did. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 believed. He says, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, do I worship I, the God of my Father, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. Paul had these people standing there that didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the angels. They didn't believe in that. It's called Sadducees. And they had Pharisees there, and they believed in both. But then they had people that didn't believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh that came and died and was going to die for their sins. They didn't believe that. Paul said, I had belief in all things which are written in the law and the prophets. Take your Bible, look in Acts chapter 17. Look in Acts 17. You can have faith in God's word. We around here believe the King James Bible is the word of God. And we can prove it. We can prove it's the word of God. And the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. So this Bible right here, that's why we say the King James Bible, all the other Bibles attempt to destroy this book, destroy scripture. The devil always wants to attempt to destroy the Word of God in your life to keep you from growing in faith. You can have faith in the scriptures. You can have faith in God. And when you study the scriptures, you can have faith in it. I remember when I first got saved, people started telling me, you need a living Bible, new living Bible, and all that stuff. I couldn't understand that stuff for nothing. This King James Bible is written in about fifth or sixth grade English. Nobody should have a problem understanding this. Well, I've had people tell me, I don't understand the deeds and downs. I said, I couldn't even read. I couldn't even read. And I learned how to read this book. I understand it. It's pretty simple. If you really want to know the truth, God will show you the truth. And this book is the Word of God. God would be unjust. Think about this. God would be unjust to say, okay, you just make it the best way you can. I'm not going to give you a book to go by. Can you imagine going to work if you're a builder and you're going to put up a building? And you go to work and say, hey, where's the plans? Well, there is no plans. Just do it the way you feel like it. You would have a mess. God's given us an instruction book. And this is what we live by, what we stand on. The Mormons come along, they try to change it. The Jehovah's Witnesses come along, they change it. I mean, Muslims come along, they had the Quran. The Quran only has, it doesn't even have any prophecy at all that comes to pass, nothing. This book has prophecies that come to pass after 2,500 years. And still got prophecies coming. I mean, in the book of Daniel chapter 2, you still got prophecies still in the future coming. And you know what's funny to me? What's funny to me is people say, I don't believe that Bible. And they're looking around now and they're thinking, hey, man, maybe there's something to this. I got a sister-in-law who works for the FBI. And I was telling her about what the Bible said was going to come to pass. And she looked at me and went, she stared at me. She works for the FBI. And she said, that's going on right now. She said, I have two computers in front of me. She said, I have a FBI computer and I have a regular computer. And I monitor both. And there's people sitting in the office. And she said, you're scaring me. I was telling her about the book of Revelation. That book's come to pass. I said, look, man, if you're saved, you ain't got nothing to fear. Look at this, Acts 17. Acts 17, and look at verse 6. I've got to hurry. It says, when they found them not, back up to verse 5, the Jews that believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city in uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, saying, these have turned the world upside down, or come hither also. Talking about Paul and Apollos and Barnabas and all that. They said, man, they turned this place, this city upside down. With what? Believe in the scriptures. And look what the Bible says. It says in verse 7, and whom Jason have received, and these do contrary to the deeds or the decrees of Caesar, saying that there's another king, one Jesus. See, Caesar demanded to be worshipped. Herod desired, all these kings, the Roman kings desired worship. They worshiped the body of women, men, and angels, and animals. That's why you see all these mixture of animal and men and all that stuff. They worshiped sex. The god of the world is money. The number one god in this world right now is money. Number two is sex. And then education. They think education is the answer for all problems. No, it ain't. That Bible, that book is. God is. And the Bible says, and Jason had received these that do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go. And the brethren, that they set bond. That's what it was. It was a bond. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. They went over again. Though these were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they received the word of God, word with all readiness of mind. And look at this. What a thing. Search the scriptures daily, whether the things are so. So what is a Christian supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be looking at the Bible every day, searching it, saying, God, show me, teach me, teach me your word. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, of men, not a few. And when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came hither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea. But Silas and Timothy abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought on to Athens and so on. So these men that they kept trying to stop the word of God being preached. They stopped trying to stop the scriptures from going out. They constantly went after them, trying to stop the scriptures. And because why? You can believe what God said. Paul went in, and these Greeks, he was going into preaching to these people. The Bible says they received the word of God with a readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily, whether the things were so. You can have faith in the scriptures, folks. Take your Bible, look in chapter 18. Look at chapter 18, verse 24. I'm going to have to stop. 18:24. I love this. This is something else. This book is right on the money. You can have faith in God. People have faith in all kinds of crazy things. Faith in aliens. This Jew I was talking to yesterday, he says, have you watched that video yet about the aliens? And they have faith in aliens coming. Why do you think they keep sending? One of the videos somebody sent me, and it's, you know what they said? They said, it says, America and Israel knows all about the aliens, and they've got a space station set up on the backside of Mars so you can't see it. Isn't that crazy? America knows about the aliens, so does Israel. So, and that's, you know, China just put a flag on the moon. Did you know that? They just did it. America went up there, and men in 1969 stepped foot on the moon and put a flag out there. Russia went, I think, right before America and did it. And now China. Look at 18:24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took on him onto them and expounded on him the way of God more perfectly. And he was disposed to pass on Achaia, and the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace, that he might convince the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scripture that Jesus was Christ. The scriptures. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Put your trust in the word of God. Put your trust in the God of the Bible. Put your trust in the Jesus Christ, the one that died for you, that paid your sin debt. You can trust that. You can trust the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can trust that. There's some things in this world, man, you can't trust. You know, you can't trust, you know, a lot of times what men say. You can't. As a matter of fact, politicians, every time they're speaking, they're lying. At every side of their mouth, they're lying. You can't trust them. You can't trust them. They say, well, and what boggles my mind is they always say, well, the American people, they could care less about the American people. All they care about is padding their pockets. There's only a few men that I know that I believe that care about America. And y'all know who I'm talking about. But the Bible talks about the scriptures being, sound. You can trust. The gospel is the scripture. The Bible says, it says in 1 Corinthians, go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, look at this. I can trust the scriptures. I don't trust religion. And you might as well make up your mind, you can't trust religion. Religion counter, what religion does is they counter the scriptures. What I mean by that is that they say one thing and the Bible says another. And what I learned as I got saved and growing in the Word of God, I started learning if the Bible says one thing and religion says another, you better take the Word of God. Right. If religion says, you know, where did the thing where Mary became our mediator, where did that come from? Catholic Church. Mary's not our mediator. Mary couldn't answer a prayer if her life depended upon it. Mary's not God. They try to make Mary a God. That's come from Baal. It come from the Baal back in the Old Testament. It came from Baal. And Dan, the tribe of Dan, got hooked up in that mess. But Mary can't answer your prayers.
People say, oh, Mary, Mary, oh, Mary, oh, Mother of Grace, oh, you know, blessed be the fruit of thy womb. Even Jesus, they pray that day in and day out, day in and day out, and God doesn't answer their prayer. Mary can't answer nobody's prayer. You say, was Mary a good woman? Yes, she was a good woman. Was she a chosen vessel? Yes, she was a chosen vessel. She was chosen, but she wasn't God. Jesus called her woman. He didn't call her mother. He called her woman. Why? Because he knew they were going to make a God out of her. She was a chosen vessel. You know what you are? You're chosen. You're a chosen vessel to glorify God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You can trust the gospel, folks. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And, I mean, you say, this is simple, man. This is really simple. What do you got faith in? If you don't have faith in Scripture, you don't have faith in trusting to what God says in the Word of God, you don't have faith in God, you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, you don't have faith in the preached Word of God or the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whenever I preach the gospel at funerals and stuff, people always get mad. I will tell them, if you're not saved, you're going to go to hell. People say, oh, that's just not your place to say something like that. No, the Bible says it. I don't want nobody to die and go to hell, do you? And I'm going to tell you something. If you're a Christian and you're saved and you don't care about people dying and going to hell, there's something wrong with you. You didn't get the same thing I got. When I got saved, I wanted to see my mom saved. I wanted to see my daddy saved. I wanted to see my brother saved. I wanted to see my sister saved. I want to see everybody saved. I want to see everybody saved. Why? It's a free gift. It won't cost a dime. It costs God everything, but it costs me nothing. It costs God everything. But the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And a person that doesn't care about people dying and going to hell that's saved, shame on you. Look what the Bible says. Moreover, brethren, chapter 15, verse 1. I'll stop with this. I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand. I stand in the gospel. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look what else it says. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to Scripture. There's the Scriptures. If you don't have a Bible, you don't have nothing. You don't have a Bible to stand by. That's why you think the devil is always trying to corrupt the Bible. Always trying to throw a wrench and trying to just, you know, throw say, oh, that Bible ain't real. They've come out with a Bible now that's neutral. It's neuter. God is not a man. God's not a woman. God's nothing. He's just a neutral. He's a it. That's what they want you to believe. Isn't it something that on our universities in America that was founded by Christians like Harvard, Princeton, what else is there? Yale. All these universities of America that everybody wants to go to, you know, the prestige and all that stuff, they were founded by Christians to train men in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now they threw God out. Just like they threw God out of our country. Fellow showing somebody about, you know, on the coins, they in God we trust. You know what? They want to take that off too. In God we trust. Why? Some founders of our country believed God. They believed the Scriptures. They believed the gospel. They believed in Jesus Christ. They had faith in Jesus Christ. They had faith in God. What do you got faith in? Your science? The CDC? The World Health Organization? God have mercy. You know who controls them? China. If I deliver it on, say, what is China? They're atheistic, communists. For I deliver on you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12, and then they were seen above 500 brethren at once. I'm going to tell you something. You can take what you believe, and I'll take what I believe. I believe God. I believe Jesus Christ. I believe the Scriptures. I believe the gospel. And we'll see who comes out in the end. We'll see who comes out in the end. And I know this book is right on the money. When God told, in the Old Testament, God told Moses, he said, you go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh did not know who he was messing with. You know what Pharaoh said? Who is God that I should let the people go? You know what God did? He ruined Egypt, destroyed Egypt just with nature. You know what scares people? Nature. You know, people talk about, oh man, we want to make sure we preserve nature, which I'm not for throwing cigarettes out the windows and you know, burning up the forest and killing all that. I'm not for all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. They got their trust in nature rather than their trust in God. In the creation. Rather than, the Bible says they worship creation more than the creature, creator. God have mercy. All right, we'll stop right there. Father, thank you, God, for this book. Thank you, God, for Jesus Christ. And Lord, you said, have faith in God. Just believe in you.